It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo, it is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson. MUNSON.com. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent podcasts, and our most recent op-eds. Now, be sure and sign up there. Go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. Our voter's guide is on my website. Rick Turnquist and I did a very thorough voter's guide to help you with the ballot issues that are on the Colorado ballot. A lot of you have been reaching out about judges. I'm working on that. I've got some calls out. At this particular point in time, for an overview on judges, go to dcgop.org. A friend of mine did some great work on judges, and it does talk about the Supreme Court as well as the 18th Judicial District. And be sure, and you can just click on the judges tab, and there'll be more information there. This show is brought to you by my friend and patriot, Helen Jean Mitchell. Thank you so much to Helen for sponsoring this show. We greatly appreciate it. We've got a lot planned for you, something very late breaking. This first segment, we'll be talking with Benjamin Huseman. He is the Commerce City Mayor, and some interesting things have been going on up north in Adams County, Commerce City, and there was a headline that he had been censored by city council, fellow city council members, and it'll be interesting. You'll want to find out what is going on up there. Second segment, we'll talk with John Kellner. He is the candidate for district attorney for the 18th Judicial District, and that entails Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties. We are understanding that community safety is on people's minds. These district attorney races are so important. We'll talk with Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour with Presidential Wealth Management. And then Helen Raleigh will join us. She has a new book out, Backlash, How China's Aggression Has Backfired. And then she also just had a piece in the City Journal regarding Hunter Biden and his China connections, and it's called American Princelings. And she talks about Hunter Biden and Chris Hines, who is the stepson of John Kerry. You will not want to miss any of this. As we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And I'm going to go for our inspiration and wisdom quote today to Maggie Thatcher. She was born in 1925. She died in 2013. She was a British stateswoman who served as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom from 1979 to 1990. She was the leader of the Conservative Party from 1975 to 1990. She was the longest serving British Prime Minister of the 20th century and the first woman to hold that office. And she said, "When socialists cry power to the people, and raise the clenched fist as they say it, we all know what they really mean, power over the people, power to the state." That is pretty poignant these days, producer Steve.
Now, was it the Russians or the Soviets who dubbed her the Iron Lady?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a good reason why.
Yes, she earned that title. And before we get over to Benjamin Huseman, I always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie for all of your good work and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting, as well as each of you listeners. You're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Today, go out and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. We're going to jump over right now to Benjamin Huseman. He is the mayor of Commerce City. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm glad to be here. Appreciate it.
There's been a lot going on in your world lately. You made the headlines yesterday in the Denver Post. Tell us about that.
Monday night our city council voted unanimously to censure me for
what they deemed as my unprofessional behavior for a study session we had the week prior, where we had an update from our economic development team as well as an outside consultant that we had hired to come in and take a look at the lack of retail and dining in Commerce City. So they felt that my questions were out of line and that I wasn't appropriate and took the action to vote 7-0 to censure me.
What kind of questions were you asking them, Ben?
Well, it started off with there was a comment in there about the fact that in the report that was presented that the only state west of the Mississippi that has all these grocery stores was California, and that's just not true. It's completely factual. And my question started with, if you have such an erroneous error within a report like this, how can I trust the validity of anything else? And, you know, it's little things that if you read the report, you go do a little bit of research on it, and you say, well, this doesn't match up with what's going on. You know, another comment that was made was the fact that we don't have enough residents in the northern part of our city to warrant a second grocery store, but we have more residents in the northern part of Commerce City than Green Valley Ranch does, and they have a King Supers, a Brandon Natural Grocers, and they're getting ready to get a Sprouts. And I said, how is it that less residents can support three different restaurants or three different grocery stores, yet you're telling me that we can't support another grocery store in the northern part of our city? And the answer that came back is, well, they probably don't know how many residents you have. And my reply to that was, well, whose job is it to explain this to them? Isn't that why we have an economic development department, to go out there and to make sure that these companies are aware of what's going on in our city? And it was just a level of frustration of the information that was presented within the report and just what I consider to be inaccuracies and just a lack of validity to what was going on. My peers on the council didn't feel that my questioning was appropriate and took the action on Monday night to such a report.
You know, this is something that is absolutely astounding. And producer Steve, I'm going to make a quick comment. Well, I'd like to see if we can get just a little bit better line here with Ben, okay? And I'm going to make some comments on this. I served on city council for 4 years, and it is very interesting. You do rely on reports and staff to be presented to you. But over time, I learned that sometimes those reports, the comments could be skewed one way or another. I'll give you an example. When we were talking about the light rail, Southeast Light Rail extension, a presentation was made to us that there were X amount of boardings on the train. And it was a number. But as I said boardings, I said, is that that means one person. Is that getting on? Is that going to and fro? And they are counting, yes, to and fro as boardings, when actually it's one person that is traveling back and forth. So the real numbers, I felt, were always half what that number was. But the way the number was presented to us, I felt it was inflated. I felt that it was not a true number. And there are few city council members, there are few mayors out there these days that are willing to ask these hard questions. All city council members, or most of the cities and county, or cities and towns in Colorado, belong to something called the Colorado Municipal League. And this is a lobbying group that goes down to the state house to lobby for, I thought it was for the residents of cities and towns. In actuality, it was lobbying for more power to the cities and towns. I think we have Benjamin back on the line with a little bit better connection. Okay, Ben.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Not a problem. I served on city council for 4 years, and what I found was so interesting. When I got on city council, I thought that the meetings, the study sessions, would be places where we would kick the tires on ideas, where we would go through these the different issues that were presented to us, and that we would look at them, and we would look at them as is this more freedom for our citizens? Is it less freedom for our citizens? Is this the proper role of government? Is it not? I was astonished when I got on city council that they really always pushed for unanimous votes. And a lot of the decisions had been made prior to the city council meeting. By the time you got to the city council meeting and you have your citizens coming and they're making some public comment, that many times the decision is foregone already. And so these study sessions are a place where these hard questions need to be asked. And you got censored for just asking questions, Benjamin?
That was the main reason it was brought up. And then some individuals felt that they don't like coming to the meetings because they don't like my approach towards running the meetings. They don't like some of the comments that I make whenever the actions that are being taken are not in line with how they're supposed to be taken. Those were two additional things that were brought up. Lastly, the thing that was brought up was, you know, we've had meetings here in Adams County with the Adams County Commissioners, with Tri-County Health. They've been meetings that have not been announced by any organization. No agenda has been posted. And I took it upon myself to start live streaming those meetings. And the comment was made that I was bringing a negative light on Commerce City because I was live streaming meetings that weren't intended to be shared with the public. And it's unfortunate because, you know, these meetings had a roll call. They had more than three county commissioners attending them, and we're discussing affairs of what's going on with the COVID-19 pandemic in Adams County and the actions that Tri-County Health is going to take, and nobody seems to want this information to be public. Everybody has just kind of sent out a confirmation of the fact that I've shared these meetings and let our residents know that, hey, these are the decisions that are coming your way, and these are the actions that you need to take in order to prevent those decisions from being implemented. And that was one of the reasons it was brought up for the censure. And I just find that to be incredulous, the fact that people would want to protect having these private meetings where discussions like this are taking place and nobody wants that information to be public.
And what was interesting is sometimes I feel that the press is somewhat complicit in it as well. Patty, my researcher, had found a piece. This was a few days before a listener had reached out to me regarding these secret meetings. And when we say secret meetings, anytime more than two elected representatives meet to talk about public policy, it is that meeting needs to be posted so that we, the public, know about that. And what you're referring to, Benjamin, is the fact that there were many elected representatives that were meeting with Tri-County Health, these bureaucrats, regarding COVID-19. We did see some additional more draconian restrictions in Adams County and Arapahoe County. But those meetings are supposed to be, by law, they're supposed to be posted. The fact that they weren't, the fact that you would live stream them, meant that the public could watch those. And my understanding is that there are PBIs, politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties in Adams County and in the North Metro area that didn't want the public to see what was happening. Am I getting that correct, Ben?
That would be my impression of it, because none of these meetings were broadcast. None of these meetings were announced to the public. No agendas were posted. You know, they had strategy sessions with their consulting group where they were trying to make decisions on what they wanted their representatives at Tri-County Health to vote on. And, again, none of these meetings were going on at the knowledge of the public. And I just considered that to be a foul. So I took it upon myself to start live streaming these meetings and have just received condemnation for the fact that I did that, because they weren't, according to them, intended to be broadcast like that.
My friends, there are a few real heroes out there in local government. It is so important, these local races and the local government, both local county government. Many of these people that are being elected do not have everyday hardworking people's best interests in mind. And when they're not transparent, and when they are meeting and in meetings that they don't want to have people see what's going on, to talk about shutting down our economy again, that is something of great concern. And then I was just wanted to mention that Patty had found a headline, this was a few days before, that Tri-County was considering additional restrictions because of more and more COVID positive cases. I talked to my friend, Dr. Jill Vecchio, and she said, when somebody says that there's more cases or somebody's tested positive, you say, are you sick? And was it a viral test, or was it an antibody test? And those are the questions. The more testing that we do, those numbers are going to go up. And Benjamin Huseman, I laud you for having the courage to let everyday people know what's going on. We're out of time on this. What's the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, number one, I just want to thank you for your time this morning. I want to thank you for helping get the word out. You know, the interesting thing, and I've asked this question in two separate meetings, is how many cases are there active right now today in Adams County? And nobody can give me that question. And every time that you see the COVID case numbers, those are a cumulative number from the beginning of the pandemic to now. But nobody can tell you how many people are currently infected. Nobody can tell you how many people were cured. We don't know how many people at this very moment are actually infected with COVID-19. And yet we're willing to take all these other data and manipulated data in every other way possible in order to come up with a game plan that does not have the best interest of our residents and our businesses in And it's unfortunate that you can't trust the data, and especially whenever you start saying, well, if you had 100,000 residents, this is what your case rate. Well, that's cherry-picking data in order to try to push your agenda, and it's unfortunate that that's what's taking place. If you want us to take action, let us know exactly right now at this very minute how many people are infected so we can determine exactly what the severity is right now instead of just saying you've had 1,400 cases since the pandemic started. That doesn't tell us what the actual current situation is like.
Well, Benjamin Huseman, mayor of Commerce City, thank you for your courage. It is not the easiest thing to do what you are doing, and I thank you for that, to be standing up for everyday, hardworking, everyday people. Thank you so much, and let's stay in touch.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Most definitely. Before we go to break to talk with John Kellner, I want to give a shout out to Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 locations, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. Every October, Hooters goes pink for the fight against breast cancer. This year, Hooters across the U.S. are working to raise money for breast cancer fundraising. Their goal as a company, not just Hooters Colorado, is that their entire company throughout the U.S. are hoping to raise $1 million. Last year, they raised $700,000. So go over to Hooters Restaurants. It's, these beautiful days. You can watch some sports. They've got all kinds of specials. Check out HootersColorado.com for more information. We're going to be right back with John Kellner.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can find our voter's guide there as well. We hope that that is a great tool for you as you are filling out your ballot this election season. This show is brought to you by my friend and patriot, Helen Jean Mitchell. We so appreciate her stepping up and helping us out with this. On the line with me is John Kellner. He is the candidate for district attorney for the 18th Judicial District, which is Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties. John Kellner, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me on again.
Definitely. What is going on in the campaign? Are you starting to see any Soros money come in for your opponent? Because this is when he normally starts to show up.
I'll tell you where we're at. We're at basically the get out the vote phase. We are working incredibly hard to make sure that everybody's getting their ballot in and getting it in early, and make sure they're heard. We're really reinforcing the fact that you can log on and find out, get an email, a text that your ballot's been counted, and make sure that everybody is getting out the vote. So in terms of what we're seeing from outside money, haven't seen the big money from outside PACs coming in, especially Mr. Soros's PACs that came in 2016. To help the Democrat challenger in the first judicial district, but I am seeing some outside money coming in to support my opponent.
Okay, and your opponent, I have made a point of educating people regarding Emerge candidates. This is a Democrat candidate training program for women, and it is the program that what they're training is very far left. These are people generally, and you can see women that have been elected and what their policies are, and it's not been for law and order. It's some of these opponents are recommending to take SROs out of schools. And I think that there is a stark difference between you and your opponent. She is a graduate of this far-left training program, Emerge. Give us some contrast between you and your opponent, John.
Well, you're correct. My opponent is an Emerge graduate, and the biggest contrast between me and my opponent is that I have actually been a criminal prosecutor in the state of Colorado for the last 10 years. And before that, I was a prosecutor in the United States Marine Corps and as a special assistant U.S. attorney in San Diego. I've dedicated my entire adult life to seeking justice for victims in court. Now, my opponent's been a civil attorney for pretty much her entire career. And if you go through our records and stack them up side by side, you will see in me somebody who's been prosecutor of the year for the entire state of Colorado for taking on murderers and gang violence in Aurora. Then Mothers Against Drunk Driving Prosecution Team of the Year for my work combating drunk driving, repeat drunk drivers that have hurt and killed people on our roads. My opponent has never even won a felony trial, never won a violent crime trial. And you got to put that in perspective. We file about 32,000 cases every single year in our judicial district. You told those four counties, Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln, we've got about 1.1 million Coloradans that call it home. And so out of those 32,000 cases we file every year, about 5,500 of them are felonies. Felonies are cases where people can go to prison. Felonies are cases where someone's been, you know, tragically killed, for instance. And my opponent's never done that work before. And what I say to people is, how can you lead an office of about 100 prosecutors who go into court day in and day out and ask juries to hold people accountable for those very same crimes when you've never stood in their shoes? It's hard to have the judgment to know what is the right thing to do on a case if you've never been in that position to do it before. So for me, this isn't just about some, you know, political gain, some partisan political gain. I am in this for community safety, for the safety of our families. I think that's the only thing that should be the number one priority for a district attorney.
Well,
my opponent has said things like,
No, go ahead. Well, the safety of our communities, that seems to be, as I talk to candidates, that they've been talking to constituents, that is number one. And it, we've taken it for granted for a long time until we saw all the destruction down at the Capitol under this Democrat administration and the legislature not doing anything about it. And all of a sudden people are going, wait a minute, I want my kids to be able to play out in the front yard. I want a safe community.
Yeah, that's what everybody wants. I mean, I've got kids, 7 and 8 year old, you know, going to public school. The people I talk to, they want to know that their kids are safe. They want to know that their community is safe. Business owners want to ensure that there's a safe environment for people to come and you know, basically have this great humming economy that we had pre-COVID come back again. And you've got to have safety to, you know, have the conditions for that. And my opponent has said things like she will reduce incarceration by 25% after the end of her first term. And you know, think about that. It's not reduce crime by 25%, just reduce the consequences. And I'll tell you, to get sent to jail or prison, it's kind of hard. You got to be a repeat offender. You got to be a violent crime offender, somebody who's committed additional crimes while they're pending trials for their current crimes. So what I say to folks is, you know, what cases are you not going to potentially send to prison? Is it the sexual abusers? Is it the attempted murderers? Because that's not community safety in my view. You know, my opponent said things like she would favor not prosecuting misdemeanor drug offenses, just period. Now, her position has kind of changed on this over time, and that goes back to the experience piece, is knowing that, look, in our world, when we intersect with somebody because they've been arrested or charged with a drug offense, that's usually our opportunity to intervene and to help them get resources and treatment, especially now when it's lost in the pandemic, but we are still dealing with an incredible opioid epidemic in the state and in this country. Those are dangerous policies. They're going to set us back.
Learning on the job to be a district attorney, I don't think is a really good idea. I think you really do want somebody with some experience. A couple of things. Did I hear through the grapevine that you had solved or brought charges on a cold case? Do I remember that correctly or not?
Oh, yeah. So I started our cold case unit in 2013 when George Brockler was elected. He asked me to come over and start this unit from the other DA's office I was working in. And we've had some incredible success. I mean, one of the most recent cases we solved was a 40-year-old cold case murder in Douglas County, a young lady named Helene Przinski, who was abducted in Englewood in 1980. She was sexually assaulted. She was murdered. And this is a case that was unsolved for going on 40 years before the great folks at the Douglas County Sheriff's Office used genetic genealogy, found the killer. We worked hand in hand with them in the DA's office in my cold case unit, and ultimately brought this guy to justice. He was hiding out in Florida, ended up getting convicted of first degree murder and sentenced to life in prison. And that happened during the pandemic, the sentencing itself. So we're still working on these cases. And I do that on the side now. I'm actually in charge of the Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln County offices. So basically all the prosecution services for about 400,000 Coloradans.
Okay. John Kellner, we are 13 days out now for this election. And people need to help. They need to become active. Whether or not, you know, one of the things that they could do is just email 10 of their friends and recommend candidates on who to vote for. That's just a simple thing to do. But people can help you by walking and calling and writing notes to people, a whole bunch of different things. I'm recommending people adopt a candidate. And John Kellner, I know that you are up for adoption.
I'm always up for adoption. That's great. And I appreciate that you're putting the word out, because it is all those small things, those grassroots things, even if you're not working with and directly with a candidate, but just sending messages to your friends, encouraging them to vote and to vote for me. I would appreciate that. But anybody that wants to get involved, they can go to johnkellner.com, J-O-H-N-K-E-L-L-N-E-R.com. You can reach out to us via email there. You can reach out from one of the message boxes on the website. We are walking every single day. We've gone through nearly 40,000 pieces of literature delivered to doors. We are texting. We are calling. We are doing everything we can to win this race, and we would love to have anyone else's support out there that's interested.
Okay, John Kellner, thank you so much. We will talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Kim.
And let's jump over here with Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. What is going on in your world, Jason?
Well, Kim, I'll tell you, it's as we talked yesterday, with the market, stimulus seems to be the word that makes the markets happy. Yesterday morning, we got off to a rip-roaring start with the Dow up almost 400 points, but that faded throughout the day as we didn't get the updates on a possible stimulus that we were hoping for, I guess, and the market ended up still positive, but very close to the low end of its range for the day at a positive of about 113 points. NASDAQ and the other indexes followed suit the same way, Kim. Now, this morning, there doesn't seem to be a lot of chatter about the stimulus right now. The talk seems to be more about Joe Biden's emails, which are stimulating only to anybody that's not in the left-wing media, it appears, but the market doesn't care that much about that. It's futures up about 13 points.
Okay. And that was Hunter Biden's emails, right? And it really is implicating, I think, Joe. He was referred to as the big guy. The big guy got a portion of these kickbacks that that it looks like Hunter Biden has gotten. I find that absolutely fascinating. And we'll be talking with Helen Raleigh in the third and fourth segment about that. Jason McBride, I know we've mentioned this every morning, and I think that it is really important, this analysis that you did on the Trump tax cuts. And everyday hardworking people, instead of just $2,000, if I remember right, I've got it in my whole pile of papers here, it's more like $5,000 or $6,000 for a couple with a couple of kids making probably about $150,000. And Biden and Harris, and Harris Biden, the ticket, they say they're going to repeal the Trump tax cuts, and then they say that they're not going to raise taxes on anybody making less than $400,000. But why repeal those tax cuts that really help people, Jason McBride?
Well, because it takes away something Trump did, I guess. And as we know, the Democratic platform has been to tax and spend, you know, pretty much since the beginning of time, as far as I can remember, Kim. So it's not surprising that they would talk about taking it away. It's a talking point for their base, because they've got them convinced that only the millionaires and billionaires got the tax cut. In fact, I saw yesterday there was a survey done, you know, a study done that like only 30% of the people in the country actually believe they got a tax cut, and something like 70% actually did. Now, those numbers, percentages might not be exactly right, Kim, because I just saw it very briefly, so don't hold me exactly to it. But the point was there was a great discrepancy between the people that actually got a tax cut and the people that believed they got a tax cut. And that's you can thank the media for that.
Isn't that just absolutely astonishing? So to get the facts, go to airpresidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com. And you can put in the request to download that. And Jason will get that to you. And these next 13 days, as you're talking with your friends and your family and your colleagues, this gives you the facts that you can say, yes, people did get a tax cut. And people like more money in their pocket. And these PBIs, they want to take more and more of your money. Jason McBride, final thought for this morning.
Well, I'm going to agree with your final thought. Information is power. And the information that can be in black and white that's absolutely indisputable is the most powerful at all. This election is very, very important. And, you know, if you believe you will have the opportunity to speak with someone who's undecided, and this is one of the sticking points, you know, they should have the facts before they cast their ballot.
Most definitely. And if you are not informed, get informed before you vote. And if you don't get informed, then you have a responsibility not to vote. So there's two things there. Get informed and vote. If you're not informed, then and you don't take the time to do it, then don't vote. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. The phone number over there is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, we will talk to you. You're going to take a couple of days off, so we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll talk to you next Monday. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Helen Raleigh is on the line. We'll be talking with her about two different things. She has had a piece in the City Journal regarding Hunter Biden and his China engagement. She also has a new book out. It's Backlash, How China's Aggression Has Backfired. We'll be right back with Helen Raleigh.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
The silent odorless killer, CO2. Your house has a monitor. Does your mask? Masks can actually be pretty dangerous, according to the National Institutes of Health. They say that inhaling high levels of carbon dioxide, CO2, may be life-threatening. OSHA does not recommend masks in oxygen-deprived environments, specifically elevations over 3,000 vertical feet. The mask mandate is not for your health. It's killing you. Killing you one breath at a time, thanks to selfish Governor Polis, paid for by FECUnited.com.
When politicians want to raise taxes, they're supposed to give you a say in the matter. They're not supposed to sidestep the law and make you pay more without your approval. But that's exactly what politicians are doing. And that's why we need Proposition 117. Proposition 117 gives us, the taxpayers, a voice. It allows us to vote on large fee increases, which we all know are just hidden taxes. For far too long, politicians in Colorado have raised the cost of car registrations, health insurance, and even hospital stays without giving voters a choice. They get away with it by calling their cost increases fees instead of tax hikes. Voting yes on Proposition 117 would change that and stop the hidden tax hikes. Vote yes on Proposition 117 to give Coloradans the voice they deserve. Paid for by Unite for Colorado. Katie Kennedy, registered agent.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast and our most recent op-eds. We would appreciate it if you'd go over to Facebook and give us a like. We have our voter's guide on the website. Rick Turnquist and I spent a lot of time on that, and it is a great tool as you fill out your Colorado 2020 ballot. This show is brought to you by my friend and patriot, Helen Jean Mitchell. Thank you to Helen Jean Mitchell for bringing this show to you. And on the line with me is Helen Raleigh. You know her. She's an author. She's a speaker. She writes for The Federalist. She's on Fox News National. She's all over the place. She's got a new book that's coming out. It'll be released on November 17th. It's Backlash, How China's Aggression Has Backfired. Helen Raleigh, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you doing?
I am good. This book looks like it's absolutely fascinating. Tell us about it.
Well, it's definitely a very timely book. So the central theme about this book is how China's aggression, which included its domestic suppression of its people and its relentless extension of influence and the control overseas to its neighbors and to other countries, and how the coronavirus is spread, all those things have backfired. You see now more countries are united behind the United States and to follow the United States' lead to stand up to China's aggression. So that's the central theme of the book. And it's very timely. It covers a lot of the recent events from Hong Kong, Taiwan, the coronavirus, and China's influence in our infiltration in our college campuses, and the technology war, trade war. It just covers a lot of very timely topics.
I was talking with someone the other day about China, and he said, depending on this election, that Taiwan could be, things could be happening with Taiwan, depending on the results of this election. What's your thoughts on that, mm-hmm. Helen Raleigh?
Well, I think that person's right. I actually recently talked about this on a webinar also. I think that because many people, you know, agree that we are currently in a Cold War with China, but the Cold War could turn into a hot war. One of the catalyst events could be Taiwan. And Taiwan is absolutely the Communist Party's bottom line. The current leaders are a China dream. This whole rejuvenation of the communist nation include reunification with Taiwan. And the Chinese government has increased its practice, military exercise, as well as hardware. And now it's become a routine that Chinese fighter jet will fly to Taiwan's airspace almost on a daily basis. And when the United States sent our House Secretary to visit Taiwan, the Chinese government, or the PRA, the People's Republic, the People's Liberation Army, sent their fighter jet to Taiwan's airspace as intimidation. So this is Taiwan is definitely in a play here. And we should keep in mind, I mentioned this repeatedly in my book, challenging China right now incur costs. That's why no government is willing to do it except the United States. Even United States, it's under Trump. So no other president is willing to take a stand because they don't want to bear the cost to challenge China. I doubt that Joe Biden will confront Taiwan like the way President Trump has done.
Well, and I think that Senate candidate John Hickenlooper recently, I think Patty had found an article within the last week or so, where he had actually said that China, they're a country that has everybody's best interests in mind, that they're not a threat. And I find that extremely troubling from a Senate candidate here in Colorado, Helen.
I agree. That just means, like, has he been hide under the rocks for the last 30 years? I mean, look at what China has done. First, look at what China has done to its own people. The internment of the millions of Uyghurs, you know, the forced abortion against the Uyghur women, the first abortion control Uyghur women, and send Uyghurs to the labor camp. And that's just one of the many examples, the persecution of the Christians. And we already learned through the coronavirus pandemic, a country, a regime that treats its own people so harshly does not care about the well-being of people, you know, outside their border. And the coronavirus is the best example. And the coronavirus has become a wake-up call. Apparently, Hickenlooper didn't get a wake-up call. We need to make sure he gets that.
Well, and I did just find, I DuckDuckGo'd it, the article on, it was the Free Beacon, this was October 2 of 2020, Colorado Senate hopeful John Hickenlooper praised China as a great nation deserving of American respect and told voters that the Chinese do not seek global dominance. That flies in the face of during the Obama administration, where China started to build military bases, building up these islands in the South China Sea. Yeah. And the Obama-Biden administration didn't do anything about it, Helen.
No, that's one of my concerns is, you know, confrontational to China actually now is one of the only few things that can unite both the left and the right in U.S. Congress. And so I'm really shocked that Hickenlooper take that apologistic position. You're absolutely right, Kim. Under the Obama-Biden administration, China started building islands in the South China Sea. Within the 4 years, the Obama administration did absolutely nothing. They basically just stood by idly. The China reclaimed and now control 90% of the South China Sea, which South China Sea is so strategically important because it's one of the busiest trade routes. A third of the world trade goes through there. It has 10% of the fisheries, and it has a huge deposit of gas, minerals. It's economic livelihood for many small countries in our area, like Vietnam, Malaysia, and other countries. So China's aggressions now even prevent fishermen from those countries to even conduct fishing in their own water. This is crazy.
The other thing about that is just you're talking about the livelihoods of everyday people in the South China Sea area, but my understanding also is that the way they fortified this, that it could neutralize our aircraft carriers, which would make it difficult for us to engage if, for example, China tries to make a run at Taiwan or something like that. What's your comments on that, Helen?
Yes. So even though China insists that those island buildings were for, weather and environmental control, but they really fortified, militarized those islands. They have radars, they have airplane hangars, that they have missiles. So yes, it's a way to the objective for militarize those islands is to prevent the United States and try to stop United States intervention, try to stop United Navy's freedom of navigation, patrols. And that's another flashpoint. The South China Sea now is the most dangerous water on this whole planet. And it's another flashpoint where United States and China could turn a cold war into a hot war. Because last year, the United Navy, the Chinese Navy, one of the Chinese Navy's ships came so close, disregard the international code of conduct on the ocean, came so close to United States Navy's ship, they could easily, clash, have an accident. And so the aggressiveness is just unprecedented. It's very shocking. So, yeah, that's a very dangerous area. And it's all going to build because the Obama-Biden administration choose to do nothing.
We look at the Harris-Biden administration, if they would win the election, and it would be a very dangerous thing for the world, I think. Helen Raleigh, you immigrated from China, so you are an expert on this. The book that we're talking about is Backlash, How China's Aggression Has Backfired. You can pre-order it. It will be released on November 17th, and you can pre-order at Amazon.com right now. Helen Raleigh, let's go to break. When we come back, since you've written the book, a lot has happened now that this whole Hunter Biden email thing has occurred. And you had written a piece regarding American princelings. You said Hunter Biden and other children of political leaders are favored elites in the Chinese mode. This was published in the City Journal just recently. Let's go to break. We'll be right back with Helen Raleigh. Before we do that, though, let's give a shout out to another one of my great partners, and that is Castlegate Knife and Tool. Knives have been around since the Stone Age, and for good reason. They're functional, durable, and versatile, and they're an essential part of the All-American Toolkit. Hal Van Herkey, who is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, will be in studio tomorrow, and I need a good utility knife just to have around the house, and he's going to bring one to me tomorrow. I'm excited about that. For more information, check out this family-owned business that's located in Sedalia, Colorado, at castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Helen Raleigh.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You will get first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds, our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. This show is being brought to you by my friend and patriot, Helen Jean Mitchell. Thank you so much to her for bringing this show to you. And on the line with me is Helen Raleigh. Helen grew up in China. She is now a proud U.S. citizen. She is a speaker, a writer. You'll see her all over national publications. She's a regular with The Federalist, but she had a very important piece that was published October 14th in the City Journal, and it is American Princelings, How Hunter Biden and Other Children of Political Leaders Are Favored Elites in the Chinese Mode. And Helen, this may have come out a day or two, so before the famed now Hunter Biden computer that has been found, the laptop. I think it was right about the same time that this came out, correct?
Yes, it was right about the same time. And my article got a lot of attention because, as you know, the social media, both Facebook and Twitter, took actions, tried to censor the New York Post article about Hunter Biden's email. So many people couldn't tweet and share the Hunter Biden's email story, you know, over the social media. So they turn around and say, let's try to post the Helen's article. So yeah, it got a lot of attention.
Well, tell us about that, because it was very timely that you've written this, and you're calling them American Princelings. You mention Hunter Biden, Chris Hines, who is the stepson of John Kerry. I've heard there's also Republican children that are American Princelings as well. Have you found that by chance?
Oh, yes. I mentioned in my article that if you recall, back in 2018, Ivanka Trump got her trademark approved, 18 trademark approved within 3 months. That was unprecedented, you know, by the Chinese bureaucracy's speed. So if Ivanka's last name is not Trump, she probably not easily can get her 18 trademarks approved by, you know, Chinese government so soon. So, you know, to be fair to for your Ivanka, I don't know if she did anything to stipulate that. And also, if you look at the President Trump's harsh and confrontational policy to China, at least, you know, what happened to Ivanka did not change President Trump's, you know, China policy. So at least we can take a comfort on that. But in terms of political children of prominent American political politicians try to take advantage of their parents' or their relatives' position, monetize them for their own financial gains. That's widely spread across parties.
Okay. First and foremost, we have Hunter Biden and Chris Hines. And I want to make the point. You said that Ivanka Trump's trademark was fast-tracked over in China. Mm-hmm. However, she was not selling influence to her father, because if she was, he would not have taken the hard stand that he has on China. I've talked to Josh mm-hmm. Phillip. We've had him on the show regularly with the Epoch Times. And he also follows China closely. And he said that he never really thought that anything could happen to stop this just explosion of Chinese power. And then he's seen what President Trump has come in and done. And he said, for the first time, I feel very hopeful about this, because he is actually making a difference on China policy. What's your thoughts on that, Helen?
I think he's right. I think people see there's a entrenched D.C., establishment. There are many so-called China experts who made a living by predicting and presenting poor policies on China. And they've been wrong for so long, but they've been wrong. They keep fading upwards. They've been wrong by making such a comfortable living. And they're continuing presenting this falsely engagement policy. And many of them are going to be rehired. If Joe Biden win the election, they're going to be rehired into the Biden administration. So they're going to keep down the route, because they financially benefit from engagement with China while put our national risk, national security at risk. And so there is this very deeply entrenched, swamp or D.C. policy, D.C. Special interest. And Josh is right. And him and I are the people who actually knows the real nature of the Communist Party. And we know that it takes, like I mentioned earlier, now China is so powerful, it's very costly for any administration to confront China to try to put a stop of their aggression. And the Trump administration is the only U.S. administration, and it's also the only government in the world has been willing to bear that cost and take a confrontational stand against China. And I don't think Joe Biden has it in him, as we mentioned earlier, that you just look at what happened in the South China Sea, that and Joe Biden himself also said that he's going to reverse many of Trump's foreign policy. So I think that China's Xi very likely will complete his China dream, will complete his global ambition under a Biden presidency, because 4 year will give Xi plenty of time.
It seems like Donald Trump, everybody is, I mean, he's got so much, the media and the polling and the Chinese and it looks like the Russians have all been maybe trying to get him to not be elected and to push the Biden-Harris ticket. It's astonishing to me. I am hoping, Helen Raleigh, that the American people will understand just exactly what is at risk here. I think our country is at risk here in this particular election. Hunter Biden has been selling influence to his father when he was vice president for financial gain for their family. And it has put the security and the livelihoods of everyday hardworking Americans at risk. We've got a couple of minutes left, Helen Raleigh. These are important pieces that you have written, your book, Backlash. People can pre-order that at Amazon. It'll be released on November 17th. And then this piece that you had in the City Journal about Hunter Biden and these other kids of the D.C. establishment. You can see why they're going after President Trump, because he threatens this gravy train that they've had going on for so long. Helen Raleigh, your final thoughts.
I think you just nailed it, Kim. It is because Trump's confrontational policies towards China, which is the most confrontational, most harsh in history. And I think that's why so many establishment with entrenched business, with entrenched financial interests, want to see him leave, because his policies hurt their financial interests. And as American people, we really need to be wide-eyed, knowing that the D.C. experts are often wrong, And we need to look at, there's so many policy achievements under the Trump administration. Look at the Middle East peace agreement. You know, look at the, you know, embassy closure of Chinese embassy closure. You know, look at the trade agreement. We really need to look at his, you know, just ignore the noises. Look at the, what his foreign policy achievements, realize how much he has done in the last almost 4 years for the American people.
So he needs four more years to get this mess cleaned up. Helen Raleigh, thank you so much for joining me. Your book is Backlash, How China's Aggression Has Backfired. People can pre-order it. It will be released on November 17th, as fast as time going is going. That's right around the corner. Helen Raleigh, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Kim, and I really appreciate everything you are doing to fight for freedom.
And you too, Helen Raleigh. And again, thank you to Helen Jean Mitchell for sponsoring this show. She is a friend and patriot. Our quote for today is from Maggie Thatcher. She says, Marxists get up early to further their cause. We must get up even earlier to defend our freedom. My friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.